everyone, welcome back to another episode of Stripped by Sia, your podcast for strippers, sex workers, and all the fancy naked people in between. I'm your host, Steph Sia, aka Kimchi on stage. And yes, you can finally catch me on stage. By the time this episode comes out, you can find me at Status Nightclub in Vernon over the long weekend on the 17th. It's one night only, and those bookings are very far and few. So go see me, come chat, go tip me, and maybe chat about the show if you love it. If you hate it, maybe you'll tell me if you hate it. But it would be lovely to see you. So again, Status Nightclub, May 17th. And other than that, I'll just have to keep you posted because the club situation right now in Vancouver is not super great. But you can also find me online as well under Sia on Camera, exclusively on StreamMate. I'm also an adult content creator as well under the same name. So you can find me on the interwebs in various places and various spicy links there. But the show isn't about me. The show is all about destigmatizing sex work. And I do that by bringing different guests onto the show every single week to talk about their corner of the industry, whether they are a nonprofit organization, they're someone in academia doing research in sex work, they are like on-screen talent, there's someone in the fetish community. I really try to have a very diverse kind of perspective on the industry so people can have actually a pretty thorough understanding, an accurate understanding, and also humanize us sex workers, because at the end of the day, we are human indeed. Quick little announcement before we kind of get going with today's episode on chastity, which I'm super excited for. This is actually the last episode of Season 6. So don't freak out. It's Season 7 is coming, which I'm super stoked about. But this has been a really jam-packed season. I am continuing to get the momentum to keep flowing into Season 7, which is going to be launching next week on May 18th. So please continue to listen. I have some really, really cool guests that I bring onto the show that you do not want to miss. Some really important conversations to have there. And of course, there's a lot of new people that have not been on the show before. So stay tuned. Mark on your calendars. May 18th is the date for Season 7. Thank you all. In terms of thanking more people, again, I just want to say thank you to all the lovely Patreon subscribers that are out there as well. You guys have been with me since Season 4, so thank you. Thank you for choosing to have your dollars go to the show. They basically are, like, all of your financial dollars, they are going to help support my website hosting, because that there's a cost for that. And also myself attending adult industry related events like XBiz and going to the AVNs and stuff like that. I don't know what event I'll be going to this year. Unfortunately, won't be in Miami this year. I have too many things going on. I have another work commitment that weekend. But I will maybe see you all in some events in the fall or the summer when my schedule kind of clears up a little bit. But that's exactly where your dollars are going. So for as low as $4, you can become a patron. You can see the fun video exclusive access. And I'm sure there's going to be actually a lot of action on this episode as well, because our guest has a lot of things to show and tell with us today. So you can check it out. It's patreon.com/strippedbysia. And before I finish off this segment, I just want to say thank you to all the lovely subscribers, those who are on the second and third tier. Just want to say a quick hello and give you a nice little fan recognition shout out on the show. So hello and thank you to Snoo Snoo, all the way listening from Germany. We've got Justin Erickson listening in from Vancouver, Washington. Geyser, we've got Selena Money, we've got Red Door Products. Hello, Dan from Seattle. Another creator, we got Bea York here as well from Seattle. We also have McKenna King, also was on the show, from Edmonton, Canada. Eric Araujo, Selena Money, and Moxie Mayhem. So thank you guys for your support, your continued support over the years. It means a lot to me. And also Dale. Dale, one of my lovely clients, is also a new Patreon member there too. So check it out. It's patreon.com/strippedbysia. So as I mentioned, this episode is dedicated to the kink slash fetish called chastity. And I will be honest, I actually don't know too much about chastity. So again, there's just so many things I am not an expert on. I, and like for myself, the best kind of learning is, you know, connecting with other creators who do it best in the industry. So I was recommended by Matt to bring on Mistress Tomi onto the show to speak about one of her favorite kinks to play with, which is chastity, and which is why it's so appropriate that we bring her on today. So hello, welcome to the show, Tomi. It's so great to have you on today.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. Chastity is like, it is one of my top kinks. It's one of my top fetishes. It's one of like the like most important toys that I play with. So I can't wait to like just convert more people into it.
Yes, please convert us. Please convert me. It's funny because I mentioned like, yeah, one of my subs is interested in chastity and is like, what are your thoughts on this? I'm like, I actually don't have any formative thoughts on chastity. But he's like, is this something you might be interested in? I'm like, let me record this episode and let me get back to you. But no, like I did say, I'm like, actually, I am interested in this. So I'm just curious to learn more about it from you. And if I'm curious about something, I know my audience will also be just as curious, if not more curious. And Tomi, you're going to do your best to convert us all, right?
Absolutely. I'll give the 101. I'll be talking about some stories, right? And give the rundown.
Yay! I'm so excited to chat. Before we kind of get into the nitty gritty of everything, obviously, like I want to tell the audience about you. So if anyone is listening and not familiar, do not know who Mistress Tomi is. She's a New York City-based dominatrix. She has over 5 years of experience in kink, over 3 years professional experience as well, and has trained at the Taylor Group, also a member of the Red Key Club, took classes under one of our former guests, Goddess Alexandra Snow and Simone Justice, just to name a few. This is what I could find about you on the internet, but please, can I bring it back to you? And you like, can you describe yourself in your own words and terms?
Yeah, I think on my website, it's slightly outdated now because I started in 2019 at a dungeon in Brooklyn. So it's a little bit more than 5 years now total. So I was a lifestyler dom before I started at the dungeon. Was in the dungeon for a year, COVID happened, went independent. And last year, I started doing a lot more digital work on like OnlyFans and creating clip content and a lot of like fun digital work like that. So in total, I feel like I'm approaching, 5 years professionally. Mm. Yeah, it's 4.5 now since 2019.
There we go. Well, congratulations. Yeah. That's huge. And you've trained under some of the best mentors that are out there in terms of the dom world. So I'm sure you now are passing on the torch too. You're going to also share your expertise with our audience as well. So I'm super, super excited. I think a great place to start would actually just, you know, Kink 101, we're just going to talk about what exactly is chastity in your own words and terms.
Yeah. So chastity as like a broad subject just means someone is not allowed to like access their like sexual organ, whatever that sexual organ may be. When people think about chastity, they're usually thinking about the devices you put on a person to prevent them from accessing those sexual organs, right? And it's usually the clit, the penis, but it doesn't necessarily need to be a device. There's also mental chastity. There's psychological chastity where there's a, you know, strong enough bond between a dom and her sub, and she doesn't even have to lock it up necessarily. She can just say, don't touch yourself, and this is XYZ is going to happen if you do so, and these are the ways that I'm going to monitor you. So very broad-based, like that's what chastity means. The way I like to play with chastity is because I have a lot of male subs, I do use the devices, and I enjoy the devices, and I like the sort of like hard control of having a key and a lock, keeping it around.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely see why this can appeal to so many and why this could be so fun. And really having those definitive roles kind of laid out there too. Like obviously the person that is locked in chastity, that person would be being sub. Obviously the one who would be the key holder would be the one who's playing dom. So obviously in your role as a dominatrix, I can definitely see this can be a lot of like mental games, but also very physical type of kink as well too. So, I mean, I know one of her fans asked, because we've got a lot of questions from her fans. I'll just put it out there. We're going to try to pepper in as many questions as we can. But one fan did ask, why do you like Chastity so much?
I think it has to do, I mean, like anything else, right, my upbringing. I think I grew up in a situation where, right, like sexual expression was incredibly limited and taboo, like any sexual expression. So I growing up in that environment, the way I eroticized, you know, what felt good was through denial. And so like from a quite a young age, things that would create distance between people, whether that's, you know, latex, right, or leather, or certain types of bondage where you can still feel intimacy, but there's you're not necessarily in such like close physical like contact, and it's not PMV or, you know, like pussy on pussy or like such explicit like fucking,
right,
became really, really like sexy for me. That was like my access to it, and then that just developed into sort of like this bigger, I adore teasing men, I like getting them frustrated, I like stringing them along and getting them very, very riled up and taking my time with it and making them earn every single inch of my body from the tip of my toes to like the top of my head. And chastity is like a great way to create that frustration. It's a great way to show them exactly like who they belong to and where their like sexual energy belongs to right now. And that's me.
I love that. That's such a great explanation as well. I know like another fan wrote in to like, how do you as a creator, like how do you monetize off of chastity? And for myself, like, yes, it's a very niche kink, very niche fetish in a way as well too. What is your answer to that?
The way I monetize it, I think everyone approaches it a little bit differently. The way I like to play is through like different sets of training sometimes. So there's digital monetization, there's like in-person monetization, and for in-person I prefer like longer chastity durations, mm-hmm. and then like kind of ending on a session that's an accumulation of the unlocking or the denial. So, and creating packages that reflect the like ups and downs of their horniness. For digital, there's what's really fun is like tease and denial clips. I love, you know, doing a little POV video and just telling them, like, lock your cock up now and you can't get out of it for the next 10 minutes, no matter what I do on screen. And just keeping them in that state, you know, different training sets like that. I also know some findoms who, you know, they drain subs when they're in chastity. The hornier you get, the right. more you leak, the more you're like, you're sending and sending. That's mm-hmm. another way to play too, if you're a fin sub. That method reminds me a bit of stripping, actually, right? Like getting them riled up and then totally. Be like, where's the next 20?
Yeah.
You know, like, where's the next
Another dance,
thing? You want the next
go.
One?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. I think strippers are naturals at this, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that too. So I was like, oh, this can be something really appealing, and this is something that I definitely enjoy because we just love, you know, it's tease, yes, lots of it is tease.
Yeah.
But you just got to keep that momentum going. Mm-hmm. But we will definitely talk more a little bit later on in the episode too, in terms of like, you know, in person versus online, digital and remote kind of stuff. I think maybe now a lot of people and also myself know that there are different types of chastity as well. So perhaps we can kind of go into what are the types of chastity locks or cages or belts or what's available out there. And I know it's like a big question, so feel free to take your time.
Yeah, I am most familiar with male chastity, so I'm going to talk about that. I'm bi, but unfortunately I like have had zero female clients. Zero.
Not yet. And maybe you will have some after the episode.
I know. It's been 100% like cisgender men so far. Something about my advertising. So I'm most familiar with male chastity devices. There's a lot out there. There's a lot of materials, and they can be segmented into kind of like two categories. There's the lightweight ones and the heavyweight ones. If you're totally new to chastity, I would say start with the lightweight materials. So that'll be resin, plastic, and that'll just be for you to try it out so that you know your size. And when you're measuring yourself, make sure you are using a one of the soft rulers so you can get the right width and length, and make sure it's room temperature. Like, you know, it's not too cold and it's not too hot in the room so that you get the right sizing for yourself.
That's so true.
Lightweight material would be, there's a little something here. Like a chastity cage like this, right? It's super comfortable. You can go to the gym with it. It won't bother you too much. And there's also hard shell and soft shell. This is a hard shell one. Soft shell ones, you can, you know, squish it, and there's a little bit of a give if you're new. If you are starting off with plastic or resin, when you're buying it for the first time, I would suggest something really cheap, just so you know your sizing. And you can get it on Amazon. They usually have these packs of like three sizes. You can figure out what your size is, and you can figure out the comfortability. If you're buying a chastity cage in person, I would say, you know, make sure that the lock is smooth. There's no issues with the lock going in and out or the key going in and out of the lock. Make sure you're checking sort of like the smoothness of the cage. Make sure there's no, you know, weird ridges or parts of it that might like be abrasive for you moving into the future. And talking about earlier, that guy who asked about, you know, going to the bathroom, some chastity cages have another lock in the front where you can take off the tip to go to the bathroom. And it makes it a little bit more sanitary. So there's a lot of different types of devices like this. Once you know your size, once you get comfortable in a cage like this, you can then move on to something heavier like metal. I like metal just because it's, you know, you cannot get out of it. You can't break out of it. And once a key is in my hand, the only way out is like calling the fire, you know, fire department, and they're cutting you out of the cage. So I love metal for that reason. It is heavier, so you'll have to get used to the weight. But they're quite fun. Little influencer.
There we go. It's like an unboxing right now. This is fun. Like for those who can't see the videos, so you guys gotta get on Patreon until it becomes public, because this looks amazing.
So there's two parts of the cage. Usually some have three, like I showed you here. But most of them have two parts, one for the, you know, balls and one for the cock. For the ring size, make sure that your balls cannot slip out of it. If your balls are slipping out of it, you can take off the whole cage. That ring size is too big. If it's way too tight and it's constricting blood flow, it is too small. So make sure you, you're able to wear something for like a day with it being fairly comfortable. Not overnight, just like a day, so that you can walk around and, you know, have it feel like a part of your body.
I mean, and thanks for asking like some of those questions already too, because I know someone wrote in as well, how do you find the right kind of chastity? I bought a cage, but it doesn't stay on. So that is kind of telling me that perhaps that size is too big if it's like falling off.
The ring size is too big. The ring size is too big if it's falling off.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Good to know. So going on with like different types of locks, like I know there's like chastity cages, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, because I actually don't know everything. I will definitely say that I don't know everything for sure, but chastity cages are going around balls and a male shaft, and then a belt would be an extension of that, so that would go around your waist kind of thing.
So there's there are also chastity cages that have a belt to it. For most men, you probably won't need it unless like your body, or like for some reason you have like, for some people with like really small balls, right? There's some people with like tiny, tiny balls and it's just like stuck up close to the body. That's probably when you'll need a belt of some kind to hold it up and to lock it around the waist. For women, the chastity cage itself, they go, there's a belt to
that
it.
That would be a belt. Mm-hmm. Okay, this makes sense. This makes sense. Another person, and I know we're going all over the place, but these questions are related. This person wrote, and I consider myself average size, but finding especially width an issue. Thoughts? Were any advice on that?
I think if it's been a consistent issue and you've tried a few different brands that have the sort of like average sizing, there are like custom chastity places you can order from too. So one of my favorites, and this is where this one came from, is Evotion Chastity. They 3D print your chastity cage, and it's incredibly lightweight, you know, and you can, there's a lot of different materials, it's easy to clean, and you can kind of customize it to your body and your configuration. It is pricier, so I think if you think you're average size and you can't find something, I think the better way to go about it would probably be, you know, again, like trying on cheaper sizes first, find something that fits, going to a store and getting something there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, all sage advice. But yeah, we'll definitely plug that link in the show notes below if you haven't clicked on it already. I know you had mentioned with like the first kind of, I don't know if that's a plastic, you and the black one that had like the tip you can kind of like take off so you can go to the bathroom and relieve yourself. This person also writes in, how often do you allow someone out to clean that allows thorough cleaning?
Yeah, so most chastity cages have a tip that's open like that. So you can go to the bathroom that and have it be sanitary. Same thing with this, right? Most chastity cages, the tip is open for sort of like soap and water cleaning. For me, and I think this is like the general advice, if you are wearing it 24/7, you should get out of the cage like every 2 to 3 days to do a thorough cleaning and then put it back on. And then it'll be up to your dom, your owner, you know, your top, whoever it is, to monitor you so that you're not accidentally jacking off or coming when you're out of it, the moment you're out of it. You're like, oh, I need to clean the cage. I guess I should rub my dick and clean my dick at the same time too and just accidentally come.
No, we're not allowing that to happen.
Absolutely not. I'm watching that. The camera is on. I'm looking at every single moment.
You know, a question related to that, not really related, but kind of related to, but like when you allow these like quote unquote breaks, because my sub had asked me, because I'm new, because I like, I don't know this stuff, but he's also in a relationship, which is fine. And, you know, his girlfriend has needs as well, and I don't want to be the person getting in the way of a woman's pleasure. But what do you think is reasonable in terms of like how often you would let this person out of their cage to, you know, pleasure their girlfriend? Because obviously there's a fine balance, but I would love to hear Tomi's answer.
For that. Okay, so is he getting out to come, or is he getting out to pleasure do his job for pleasure his girlfriend? Like, is it one or the other?
It's the other. It's like, you know, I want to pleasure my girlfriend because she also has certain needs as well.
Okay. If they have a partner, what I usually say is, and the partner doesn't care or require the guy to come, I say you're allowed to edge into her. You can fuck her and just edge as long as you want. You know, edge into her until she comes 3 times. You're not allowed to stop fucking her until she's came 3 times and then you're getting back in the cage. There's things like that, or that, you know, surprise her with a nice dinner, surprise her with a nice date, and you're going down on her all night, caged up. Right, there's lots of ways around it. I don't want those excuses, you know. I don't want to hear any excuses.
It doesn't look like an excuse, right?
Yeah, there's dildos out there. You know, get a little mouth gag with a dildo. You know, there's also chastity cage attachments where you can put a dildo on the chastity cage. Like, congrats! Ah. Enjoy learning how to use a strap. Right? Yeah. Enjoy this. Your lesbian. This is a lesbian experience now.
I love this so much. correct answers. I have brought the right Dom onto the show.
And you know what? When you're going down on her too, like, write my name with your tongue as a little remembrance.
There'll be more stories to share, I'm sure, as we go on with the episode. Switching gears, Tomi. I think it's also really important because anytime I have a conversation about, like, you know, kink or fetish or any type of this lifestyle, I think it's really important to talk about, like, being responsible and exercising this kink responsibly and safely as well. So I know, and I cannot say that I know because I don't know all of this, but myself has also talked to me about, like, are there any risks in terms of wearing a cage for a certain amount of time? Will that affect size? I know someone else had a question about that as well too, in terms of, like, have you ever seen anyone losing penis size due to chastity? Have you injured someone using a lock? Like, these are really real questions I think absolutely need to be addressed.
Your penis size can shrink if you're wearing it for, like, an extended duration. And this has only happened to one sub who wanted to do this intentional with me. And he's been wearing a chastity cage for, like, 2.5 years now. Not 24/7, but, like, on and off. And I've only let him come one time in the last 2.5 years. So, wow. Like, it did shrink in his case. If you're wearing it for 2 weeks and you're not, like, jacking off for 2 weeks, you're fine. I think, like, up to, like, a month, 3 months, it's fine. Like, nothing's going to happen. But if you're wearing it for such an extended period of time and not coming and not experiencing any kind of stimulation, like, personally, I have seen it sort of occur. I wouldn't worry about anything that's shorter than that. And I think for most people, they're not that extreme anyway.
Right. No, that's really important to say.
Yeah, hurting people with a chastity cage, you can't, it's, like, very difficult to, like, accidentally hurt someone when you're putting it on unless you're, like, really not careful. The most, the kinds of things that tend to happen is, like, little pinching here and there. So when you're sort of, you know, getting the two pieces together, oftentimes, like, you just make sure your skin is, like, not in the lock area. Just be careful with your skin and the pinching. That oftentimes occur with these, like, the holes on the side when this goes in.
Right.
But, like, injuries in a chastity cage, I'm trying to think of other situations. I've never injured a sub in a chastity cage before. But if you're, I wouldn't, like, do ball busting that's kicking the balls if you're in a cage, right? It's just such a hard impact. And right. With ball busting, I would, you know, take it off unless it's kind of like a pulling motion right. Over the ring or under the ring, and you're, like, kind of hitting it and protecting the impact against the cage itself.
Right.
Yeah, the most common other injury is, like, the little scratching if it's, like, not made well and there's little ridges on it or abrasions, and abrasions would happen. Outside of that, any other injury would be, like, oh, you're doing something that your common sense is telling you shouldn't be doing in a chastity cage anyway.
Right. So that might just come on you as a user being maybe not so careful.
I've never even, like, accidentally stabbed someone with a cage when I was putting the lock. It's just, you know, it's made in a way where it's quite easy to use,
right? Okay,
quite intuitive cool. To use.
You did mention, like, CBT, like, or cock and ball torture. I know that I'm jumping around again, but someone asked a question about this as well. But recommended types of CBT while in chastity. I think you mentioned, like, actually getting out of the cage and doing some CBT.
I wouldn't do any kicking or any sort of, like, motion with any kind of, like, distance to it. I would only do CBT that's against, like, really close range. Your hands are right there with it, or, like, the impact is, like, is secured within that bubble. Ball and cock ties is great when you're in CBT. Weights are great. That all is really fun.
Mm-hmm. Fun, yeah, totally. I mean, you were talking about like length before too, because like, yeah, I've again doing my own research too. I've heard about days, yes, weeks. I'm like, wow, you've had one sub that's been in there for 2.5 years in its cage. That's incredible.
Yeah, such a useless cock at this point.
One of your fans did write in, what is the longest you've had a sub wear a chastity cage? That's one. Mm-hmm. Chastity cage for you. And how do you feel about having that power and control over a submissive like that?
It feels amazing. Yeah, I think for a lot of men, their cock is just such an important part of their psyche. And they think about it all the time. So many of their decisions are driven by it. So having control over it just is such a, it's an amazing feeling of power. And I think for men too, like with the moment you kind of remove that, it is real power now. Like they can't really sort of perform in the way that like masculinity demands for them to perform. So I really enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that. Mm-hmm. I mean, along with that, like, have you ever had anyone complain, beg, scream, kick to get out of the cage or like being tortured in that kind of way? And how do you deal with that?
I hope they beg. I hope they're screaming and kicking. Make it more fun for me. I like it. When it's like fun screaming and kicking, right? If it's out, if it's because they're in pain, then it's like, obviously I'm going to let them out. But getting them frustrated to the point where, like, they can't think, that's the whole reason why you're in there in the first place.
That's the goal, honey.
That is the goal, honey. Beg a little more. Do a little more for me.
I know you probably have so many stories to share as well. I feel like you do. Like, you have this mischievous look in your face. You're like, yes. Like, what are some of your favorite stories or some of your sessions or experiences with, like, your clients?
I, like, there's so many. Like, anything with chastity, there's always, like, just the device and, you know, putting someone in there for a long time is already a lot of fun. And, like, there's, it goes, like, a million ways, right? Like, there's one time there was a sub in chastity and his he was frozen in like a block of his own piss, and I was like, if you really want to get out, and he wasn't even there in there for that long, it was like what, 4 days, 5 days, you know, I was like, if you really want to get out, you know, you have to lick and like suck this like peesicle until you you do pee block until you get your key, you know. I have the other one, that's a spare. You know, right. unless you can't deal with, like, if you really want to get out, show me that you really want to get out. And he he did it. So I was like, I guess you really want to get out. Congrats. Did you're you welcome. Win? I don't think so, but congrats.
That's always fun. I feel like there's always so much, like, fun and, like, creativity that comes with doming, for it, sure.
Yeah. Other fun stories. I mean, there's some fun release stories too. Like on your like topic of a couple. You know, there's one time. You know, it was I just put him in chastity for such a long time, and the moment, like the only way he was allowed to release was like if he like treated his girlfriend really well for like that whole week straight. Right. And then okay. I was like, and then you're like, you fuck her correctly. Like for this, for this sob and that dynamic, I was like, I think like, honestly, he needed to treat her better. And this was a way to yes. like, make that happen.
His girlfriend can thank you personally.
I think she had a great time from what I heard back. I would love to have them as a like couple. And I was, that was kind of like my way to kind of, you know, maneuver a little bit. But unfortunately, I haven't. Had a couple.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I mean, like, is that something that you would be interested in, like, offering as a service?
Yes, I do. I really enjoy couples. There was one time another dom hired me with her sub, but she was in an industry, so it's not like a, you know, couple, like they had a dom sub dynamic too. It felt a little bit different,
right? Mm-hmm. That is definitely very different for sure. And I mean, on that topic too, because like whenever I think about chastity, I actually, like, my mind just always goes to male chastity, or, you know, those who have male, like penis, mm-hmm. kind of chastity. I don't really hear too much about, you know, the clit being locked or anything like that. I just haven't heard much of it. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your, I know you haven't had experience in it, but like, what have you heard maybe from the community, what that is like? Is there demand for that? Like, is that something that women are wanting?
I think there is demand for it. And I know a lot of women play with that in their personal lives, right? I think the thing with women though is there's quite a high degree of like self-control. So mental chastity is already really efficient. Like, I've had one trans woman as a client, and she was like, it was such a breath of fresh air, honestly, because she was there to like truly please. There was like no sense of like, I'm here to like jack off, right? Like, I think with a lot of male clients, like that ends up still being kind of central to a scene, which is why I love chastity. With her, she's like, I'm here to please and obey. And it was like really, really lovely to experience. And I think with a lot of women, I know I'm generalizing, just like the ability to like discipline yourself to not do something is a lot more efficient.
No, totally. I mean, on the topic of like mental or like psychological chastity, I would love to learn more about that too. And like, what has been your experience? Like, if you have any experience with that, how does that differ from, I guess, quote unquote, normal chastity, like, or like an in-person chastity? Like, how would those be different? Because that is all just in your mind, in your brain.
Yeah. So I think mental chastity is more efficient if there's a dynamic built up, and again, it's that like desire to please that's deeper than their desire to come. So for example, that one sub who's been in it for like 2.5 years, like at this point, like he has his keys because it's such long-term wear, and I'm not going to be like going over to unlock it every, you know, few days so that he can clean and watch it. But I did set up like cameras in his house for like 3 months to, and you know, it's all configured. I'm like, I'm going to watch you through the camera. It's recorded. I'm going to see if you're like taking it off and jacking off and doing all of that. And I did monitor him for a while, but I have stopped monitoring him and he still hasn't done it because there's a paranoia that one of these random days, I'm going to check all the footages and see if he does it, right? It's sort of just little tricks or, things that you can do to keep them in check. There's also different types of ways where, like, the reward is higher than the jacking off. So it's like, okay, if you do this for 2 weeks, you'll experience, you know, XYZ. And I will know if you came because it's like what you're going to do with me is just not going to feel as good. And I'm going to know. And kind of like having them place their bet on my intuition versus like their ability to fake it if they do end up seeing me or meeting me. A really great thing about sessions too is because there is a monetary exchange, they want to make the moment of meeting or like as fulfilling as possible. So that's also really, really helpful for mental chastity, like their personal investment monetarily in an experience.
No, this makes a lot of sense for sure. I mean, and I know we mentioned earlier too in talking about like online chastity as well, or like remote chastity and like using apps and stuff like that. How is that different in your experience from like in person versus mental versus remote or online?
Remote chastity. So there is a different type of lock I like to use for remote chastity. and they're these they sell them in like sex stores too, and also online. Mm-hmm. They're like these plastic one-time use locks that you can cut off actually, but each one of them has a serial number on it. So what I would do for online subs is you put on that lock with that serial number, you take a picture, and then you have to screenshot the like metadata, right? When you scroll up on the picture, on like the time, date, location, all of that. And that's how I check in with subs. For remote play too, it's sometimes I do random check-ins. So it's like, okay, mm-hmm. we're going to do chastity for 3 days. In these 3 days, if I text you, go to the bathroom right now, I need to see that you have it on. They have to do it. And if they don't do it, there's a punishment, or there's, you know, some kind of like, there's no reward for whatever they were building up for that 3 days. So that's kind of how like the control for digital play tends to work. There are also remote controlled app and locks for chastity cages. Yes. But there's been some horror stories of it being hacked. So I actually have not used them. I personally have not used them. And whenever I show those locks to my subs who are in tech, like the moment they look at it, they're like, yeah, the software is just, it's really rudimentary, and I wouldn't put that on myself. And I trust I trust those like tech subs advice. So I don't use those at all, actually. Totally.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Good to know. Yeah, because I was seeing some of that online too. I'm like, how trustworthy is this stuff? And like, how does this work too? Because I don't know much about it. But like, in your opinion, or yeah, I guess in your personal preference, do you have a preference for in person? Do you have a preference for online, mental games? Like, what do you like?
I think I like the currently as of like April 18th, 2024. I enjoy the content creation of chastity training, and I enjoy making like teens in denial chastity videos and like chastity related videos, that's like cuckolding and or pegging or, you know, all of that. But in terms of one-on-one play, it's still in person. It just, there's nothing that beats that in person. Like, my body's on top of yours, teasing you right now, and you're locked up, you can't do anything about it. Nothing beats that feeling. And it both activates like a different part of my brain.
Right, totally. I mean, you know, I didn't even ask you earlier too, but like, how did you get into chastity specifically? Is that something you stumbled upon? Or
yeah,
like,
it's,
you know,
the way, how did I see it? I'm trying to remember the first time I saw a chastity device. And I don't remember the first time I saw one. It feels like it's always been there. Like, it's just, yeah, I don't remember the first time I saw one, but it was, like the idea of chastity has always been around. Like, the idea of denial has always been around, but I don't remember the first time I saw a chastity cage. Maybe it was at a dungeon, because I think it was probably at a dungeon.
Do you remember, like, okay, if you can't remember your first time, do you remember, like, the first time you felt like, whoa, this is something I really want to continue playing with, or this is something I want to continue to pursue and offer to my client?
Yeah, the chastity?
Yeah.
When was that moment?
If there was a moment, if you didn't have a moment, that's totally
fine
too.
When I started in 2019, there was one sub who was, he the first one I played with in chastity? I don't think so, but he was like, hey mistress, I just gave my front desk an envelope with like my keys in it, and you have my keys for like the next 2 weeks until like New Year's is over. So it was like end of 2019 to 2020. And I remember like walking to the apartment and picking up the keys and being like, this guy is going into 2020, like locked up. And there's just something about like my presence being there the entire time that was really fun. Yeah. And it's just been a gradual build up since then. That one's memorable, you know.
Yeah. What are some like other memorable moments and stories that you have that you'd like to share if you want to share?
Well, tonight I'm making a video with a couple. Okay, this is also I don't have a lot of in-person like female clients, but for digital content, all I've been doing is like collaborating with women. I'm like getting my fix that way. So tonight, yes. I am collaborating with a couple, and the boyfriend is he's in chastity. And we are doing a chastity double dom, like lesbian cuckolding video. So he's going to be locked up and I'm going to get my strap. I'm going to fuck her so good in front of him to show him how it's done. And then we're going to both fuck him with our straps. I'm excited for that.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm excited for you. This sounds like an amazing Thursday night. Wow, that sounds like
When I can't get the couples I want from my intake, I make it happen in my videos.
So we love to collaborate and have a lot of creative friends.
Yes, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Before we move on, actually, yeah, we still have a lot of questions as well, even though I did pepper a lot of questions into this whole conversation. But again, there's still some outstanding questions from your fans, from the audience, from folks that are just really, really curious about chastity. So perhaps we can try to address that.
Yeah,
now.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I think we already kind of addressed this, but just in case people weren't paying attention, but this person is it tricky going to the bathroom? Swimmers do not have the key.
Not tricky. Some of the chastity devices have this like detachable tip. Most of them have an opening at the front, so you can keep it sanitary.
Mm-hmm. Cool. This person wrote in, I have seen a lot of locks made out of different material, high-tech ones connected to apps, etc. Which ones do you prefer?
I prefer metal. I mentioned this earlier, but I do like the weight of the metal and how restrictive it is and how like you absolutely cannot get out of it unless you call the fire department to cut you out. I like metal and I prefer subs to like build up to it.
Right. Right. And that's another question too. Like how do subs build up to that? Like, I know you mentioned like, okay, try for a couple of days, try with like the softer material first, but like, what is your advice if you were telling your sub, okay, like your sub has a goal of this, what exactly would you
say? Yeah, I would say, you know, start with the material you're comfortable with, get really comfortable wearing it long-term, get comfortable wearing it when you're out and about. And you are allowed to take it off at night. Because like men get hard, it's just like their body's hardware, making sure that they're healthy. So you are allowed to take it off at night when you're in the practice phase, so that it doesn't disrupt your sleep and, you know, it doesn't sort of restrict anything down there unnecessarily. But once you're really accustomed to it, I do like subs to build up to a metal cage, and for me to have the keys so I can do the unlockings for, you know, for cleaning and for play.
Mm-hmm. And is there like a specific way or like to clean the cages as well, just so it's sanitary still? Like, is there any specific method of cleaning or a specific product that you have to use when you're cleaning?
No. So usually what you would use is just like warm water and Dial soap, so antibacterial soap. Like, don't use like block soap or soap that has residue.
Right.
Use antibacterial soap. Right. Make sure it's like washed down properly, and you know, because you're the only person using it, that's really good enough.
Cool. And sorry, connected to this question, do you have any specific brands that you like? If you want to shout some brands out as well that you personally like to enjoy, would recommend?
Evotion, if you want something custom built. There's also a really good site if you're a beginner called lockthecock.com. They have a lot of different models and they have like all of the materials too. That's a really good site to start off. Yeah. I'm just like scrolling through it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, cool. We'll add those links to the show notes as well. And this one too. How many people do you currently have in chastity?
Oh my gosh. Right now, I think everyone on my OnlyFans, I'm always telling them to lock themselves up. How many of them okay, so there's digital guys, like how many of them I know are locked up and they're doing it consistently? Digital, like the ones I know they're doing it, probably around like 50 consistent. In person, right now there's like a good handful of like 5 who are doing it consistently. Yeah, the thing about online guys, so it's, you know, I can't sort of be diligently checking up on them that. So usually what happens is I'm live streaming and I tell them to lock themselves up for the duration of the stream. It's a little bit more shorter term. Yeah,
That's kind of fun.
I was in Montreal recently, and that sub was locked up for 18 days consistently, and then he was allowed to unlock when he was in Montreal. And then we had a day where I just fucking drained him because he was so pent up and just like forcing him to come over and over again.
That sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm sure that a lot of people are also wondering, you know, maybe you will get some new fans from this too, but like, where can we all find you?
You can find me at mxtomi on Twitter. Follow my digital page in the bio too. On Instagram, it's mxtomi.digital. My in-person website is mxtomi.com. I have a clip site now, mxtomi.digital, and that's just the whole website. And my OnlyFans is at mxtomi. When in doubt, just Google my name. I will pop up. Yeah. If you want to do chastity play,
she's everywhere.
See me in person. See me online. I would love to lock you up and get you extremely, extremely pent up.
Tell me, it was so great to have you on. Thank you so much for allowing me to pick your brain today and just ask all the questions that everyone's been burning to ask about chastity. This certainly has helped me a lot, and I'm sure this helped a lot of listeners as well. And thank you for being a lovely guest to close out season 6, which is super,
thank
super great.
Thank you for having me.
It was super great. Everyone else that is listening at home, obviously, please follow, sub, do all the things for Mistress Tomi. And your homework for me is to rate 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you haven't already written a review, please do. Like, you can do that on Apple Podcasts. It really helps. Both the ratings and also the reviews help a lot with folks finding the show in terms of discoverability. Share the show with your friends, do all the things. And if you are interested in getting in contact with me, you can also contact me on Twitter, which is Stripped by Sia, on X, whatever, Twitter X. On Instagram, it's Stripped by Sia Podcast, because as you know, mine was suspended a long time ago. And if you want to be on the show, it is strippedbysia.com/contact, I think. You can pitch yourself, because I am actively looking and trying to recruit for season 7. And of course, my Patreon link, patreon.com/strippedbysia, where you can financially support the show over there. But with that being said, season 7 drops next week, May 18th. Please tune in. We have a really great guest and topic that's going to be opening up the season there. So we'll see you all next week. New episodes dropping every single Sunday at midnight Pacific Standard Time. Thank you, Tomi. It was great having you on today.
Thank you for having me.
2 Stripped by Sia, hosted, produced, and edited by Steph Sia, music by Ted D, graphic design by Maria Bellendorama, and photography by Ian Dabrin.